Hello, everyone, and welcome to Bad Bleeps of the Bible. Hello, everyone, and I don't even know where to start with our story today. Well, first, this is a two-parter, and the reason for that is that we are covering an entire book of the Bible in these two parts. And second, this story is directly inspired by all those incredible mothers out there who have not only sacrificed their own hopes and dreams for us, but also pushed us to be even more than we ever thought possible. I'm recording this the day after Mother's Day, and honestly, what is always sticking in my head when I talk about the incredible mothers is that quote from Barbie where she says, "We mothers stand still so our daughters can look back and see how far they've come." And my goodness, how far do the mothers in this story come? They're the stuff of legend. They defy norms of the time. And from the lineage of specifically our bleep today, we can trace down through the halls of time the most famous character from the Bible. From our bleep comes Jesus himself. That's right. Without our bleep this week, Jesus, yes, Jesus would not exist. She is the unifying thread of the Bible, tying both the Old and New Testaments together. And honestly, don't just take my word for it. As I was researching this, here's how one of the sources from today's story describes our bleep. She writes that she emerges in tension with her culture. She marries outside her people. She disavows the solidarity of her family and abandons her national identity and renounces her religious affiliation. In the entire biblical epic of Israel, only Abraham approaches this radicalness. But then he had a call from God and also a wife. Our bleep stands alone, without support, either human or divine. And moreover, she reverses sexual allegiance. She's a young woman who commits herself to an old woman in a world where life depends upon men. And this is me adding this part, she changes history in the process. Okay, so without further ado, who is this amazing bleep of the Bible? Well, I'm so excited to tell you the story of today's bleep and one of only two women with their own book in either the Old or New Testament. That's right, folks, our bleep today is Ruth. So our story starts in what the Bible calls the days when the judges ruled. And we know some of these judges. We've covered so many of them so far in Bad Bleeps. Think Deborah, think Samson, think Ehud, think Samuel, think Barak. All of these people were judges at the time. And they're people we know and kind of love, I guess. I don't know. It also just makes me step back and be like, wow. We've covered a lot of the Bible heavy hitters on this podcast. Y'all are welcome. But yes, we're back in the land before time when the judges ruled. So think like the Old Testament for sure, and like 1100 BCE. But also don't think too hard because I'm not a historical or Bible scholar. She's a Googler. So, but yes, we're in the time of the judges around 1100 BCE when Israel is just a loose confederation of people ruled also loosely, by judges. And during this loosey-goosey time, there also happened to be a famine. And if, as we know, if there's anything the Bible likes, it is a famine. And things are bleak during this time in the land of Israel, so much so that folks were fleeing their homes to make their way to areas with a little more food and a little less dire. And out of this situation journeyed a man from Bethlehem, a city we all know and love. I don't know, traveling there, we don't love it, but from Bethlehem came a man along with his wife and his two sons. And they were making their way out of Bethlehem, the city of bread, where the bread was no longer free-flowing, clearly, to the country of Moab, which today sits in modern-day Jordan. So think like a distance of 75 miles from Bethlehem to Jordan/Moab. And this man's name, it was Elimelech. And his wife's name was Naomi. And more on her later. And again, they were accompanied by their two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, which that last name is actually kind of nice, Chilion. Anyway, it wasn't long after arriving in Moab and setting down roots that tragedy struck this family. The patriarch and leader, Elimelech, died, leaving behind his wife, Naomi, and their two sons. And the two sons did their duty in this time of grief and married, one to a woman named Orpah and another to our bleep and bad biatch, Ruth. And do you want a fun fact? I love a fun fact. One source I read states that Ruth and Orpah may have been sisters whose father was featured just recently in one of our stories. Yes, the story of Ehud and Eglon. And if you listen to that story, you'll know that Eglon, potentially the father of these two women, was a man who met a particularly gruesome end at the hand of Ehud. And let's just say the Bible does not describe this person in a friendly manner. I'm just going to leave it there. I'm also going to leave Jabba the Hutt as an image. But who knows? But what is known is that, again, just a short time later, after these two men had married Orpah and Ruth, tragedy again struck the house of Elimelech and Naomi. For after just 10 years of wedded bliss, both sons died, leaving their two grieving wives and one incredibly grief-stricken mother. We don't know how they died. We don't know why they died. But what we do know is that their deaths led to some world-altering happenstances. So I guess they don't die in vain. At this point, the famine had ended in Israel. And the three women, deciding that clearly Moab was not it anymore, decided to make their way back to Bethlehem. So there they were, the three sorrowful widows making their way back the 79 miles to Bethlehem. But this time, they were alone. And at some point along this route, after stewing in her feelings for a few hours, the widow wagon stopped. And Naomi turned to her daughter-in-laws with tears in her eyes, saying, go back, each of you, to your family and to your mother's home, and may the Lord show you kindness as you have shown kindness to your dead husbands and to me. And may you have new homes with new husbands. And just as quickly as she said this, Naomi kissed the women goodbye and began to walk down the path to Bethlehem alone. And the women were dumbfounded. Wouldn't you be dumbfounded? You were walking on this path to Bethlehem, and now your mother-in-law turns around and says, no, you know what? Just leave me. I'm fine. I'm just going to live out my days in Bethlehem alone. It's cool. The women, though, resolved to stay with Naomi, and they refused to allow this lady just to walk back to Bethlehem alone to live out her days. But Naomi was insistent, and she shouted that, no, it wasn't fair for Orpah and Ruth to attend this old lady when they had lives to live. They were still young and full of promise, she said. They would have new husbands and babies. And at some point, Naomi's protestation worked for at least one wife, Orpah, who finally relented. She kissed Naomi and Ruth goodbye and turned around to head back to Moab. However, Ruth remained despite all her mother-in-law's words. And she also has an epic speech, of course. It's the Bible. Everyone has a speech. But she has an epic speech that she gives to her mother-in-law that you should definitely know if you're going to be a bleeper. And this is one of those speeches. So Ruth responds to her mother-in-law, stating, "Entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. And where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God." So she is literally saying in that message that, first of all, she will not be leaving Naomi alone. No. And not only that, Ruth is giving up her nationality, her heritage, by saying, your people will be my people. And she's giving up her religion, stating, my God shall be your God. It's a huge step for this woman who literally is leaving everything behind to care for Naomi. But these sad words must have convinced our equally sad Queen Naomi, for slowly and solemnly she agreed, and the women made their way back to the land of bread, Bethlehem. And upon arriving back, Naomi wasn't just greeted by all her old lady friends, sure, but these rude old women noticed a difference from Naomi upon her return. The text says that when finally Naomi and Ruth arrived back in Bethlehem, the people, rudely, if you ask me, said, "What? Is this Naomi? She looks so depressed." And Naomi, also rightfully so, turned to the crowd of friends, in air quotes, stating, "Don't call me Naomi, call me Mara, for God hath dealt very bitterly with me." And Mara, if you don't know, which I don't think you do, is a name that actually means bitter in Hebrew. And so Naomi returned to Bethlehem alone, save for Ruth. Ruth, a person who would turn out to be one of the most famous mothers of all in the Bible, the mother from whose lineage would bloom the man, the myth, the legend, Jesus. And speaking of Jesus, like Jesus, poor Naomi has suffered so much in this first chapter of Ruth. She fled a famine. She left Bethlehem with her husband and her two sons. Her husband died. Her sons died. Her daughter-in-law left her on the street by, of course, her own insistence. And when she finally makes her way back home, she's rudely greeted by these people saying she looks depressed. It's nuts. Depressed to the point where Naomi goes so far as to change her name. Whew, poor Naomi. But you know what? At least she wasn't alone in her suffering. There was Ruth, her daughter-in-law, who also, let's not forget, not only lost a husband, but is now the sole caretaker of her mother-in-law. She also left everything she knew and loved behind to start this new life in a strange new country alone. It's a lot of sadness, which, if you all have been tuning in for a while to Bad Bleeps, you should not be surprised. This is the Bible we're talking about. There's sadness everywhere. But anyway, things are about to get better for our suffering ladies. So let's move on and end this suffering. In Bethlehem, there also lived a deceased cousin of Naomi's through her husband Elimelech. A handsome man described in the Bible as a mighty man of wealth by the name of Boaz. Again, the names in this story are literally top tier. Boaz, Orpah, Kilian. I'm obsessed. I'm naming all my plants this. I should have a dog, but I don't. I have plants. Sad day. But Boaz, being the mighty man of wealth that he was, owned many fields of barley in Bethlehem and in the surrounding regions. And he hired many people to pick said barley. Or I guess, till? No? What's the word? That would be like, zhuzh it up, swish it up. I don't know the word. They would collect the barley. They were these reapers. They reaped the barley. They would swing that like scythe thing and collect the barley. Whatever. Who follow the people is more important. Ruth found her way to one of these fields and was hoping to follow these reapers, as they're called, to basically collect the scraps of whatever was left behind these men in order to provide some food for her and Naomi. And in the process of doing just that, the man of the hour, our dude Boaz, also entered the field to observe his crops. And whom should he spy out in the field but our bleep Ruthalicious? And as if tiny Cupid himself pranced his little naked self and shot an arrow of love right into the heart of Boaz, Boaz was smitten at first sight. He asked his foreman, "Whomst is this woman in the field collecting the barley?" And the reaper shared that this was Ruth, the Moabite woman who, with his cousin Naomi, have returned from Moab destitute and alone. And Boaz, being the hot hunk that he was, sauntered over to Ruth to let her know that not only was she welcome to his fields and to collect as much as she liked, but The Bible also says that he said to her that she may follow the men as much as you like, and that not only that, I've instructed them to not harm you, which, great. And again, not only that, if you get thirsty, please feel free to go to the vessels and drink the water from which the men have drawn. This is a huge act of kindness, and Ruth was overcome and threw herself down for this act of kindness, asking, why? Why show this kindness? Who is she to deserve it? And Boaz, again, hot, hunk, and non-misogynistic man that he was in more ways than one, did not say to Ruth that, yo, your loveliness caught my attention. No, rather he shared that, sure, yes, she was stunning, like, duh. But also, he had heard about the kindness that Ruth had shown to his cousin's wife, Naomi, and had heard that she had left her people and her homeland to come to a land that she was completely unfamiliar with to be with her widowed mother-in-law. And the next part is so sweet. I love this story so much. Boaz invited Ruth to a little lunch of bread and vinegar, which, weird, but whatever, and then sent her on her way, but not before instructing his men that not only was Ruth allowed to gather as much of the fallen sheaves as she would like, but that the men were supposed to let handfuls of barley and grain fall so that she would have loads of it to take back home for her and Naomi. Like, my God, that's so sweet. He's hot, rich, and kind. Where can I get one in this city? Chicago? Where are the men? At the end of the day, Ruth had gathered what was called an ephah of barley. Did I look up how to say that? No. Am I thinking that I probably should have now? Yes. What I did look up about this amount of barley could be an ephah, was that it represented basically 10 days worth of food. So in one day, Ruth had gathered enough food for 10 days. This next part I also love of this story, since when Ruth arrived back home and Naomi saw this giant amount of barley that Ruth had gathered, she asked Ruth, my God, woman, where did you get all this barley? Blessed be the field of the person who let you gather all of this. And Ruth shared then that this field was owned by a hot hunk named Boaz, who not only let her gather grain, but also shared water, food, and lunch with her, and instructed his men to keep her safe and let her gather. And I love this because Naomi was not dumb. No. She had been around the block. She had two sons. She knew what was up, and she knew exactly what was going on and exactly why Boaz would show Ruth all of this kindness. Even if maybe even poor little naive Ruth didn't know herself. And so Naomi, being the shrewd woman that she was, said to Ruth, you know, Ruth, it's good that you found this field. You know what? Keep going there, and we'll just see what happens. And that's exactly what Ruth did. She gathered wheat, she gathered corn, and she gathered barley through each of Bethlehem's harvests. And through each of these harvests, she was guarded over by the watchful eye of her protector and benefactor and future love, Boaz. But what happens in the rest of the story is, as I've said, the stuff of legend, but unfortunately something you're going to have to tune in next week to hear, because we are going to share part two of this story of our incredible bad bleep Ruth next week. So please tune into that. I'm going to leave you here hanging with the rest of this story. And again, yeah, tune in next Tuesday to hear of the mother of all mothers and hear how, while the story may seem just destined for smoothness, it's not without its bumps in the road. And we do have a villain coming up in the next part of our story. But again, tune in next week for part two of our bad bleep, Ruth. And I really hope that you enjoyed today's episode, part one of our story of Ruth. Please feel free to get in touch with me and share your thoughts, your church stories, your church trauma at badbleepsofthebible@gmail.com. You can also find us on Instagram and the TikToks at badbleepsofthebible. The sources for today's story can be found in our show notes. And please rate, review, and subscribe to this podcast. Catch you next time, and watch out for plotting widows and rich hot hunks. I know I will be. Bye.